Blog Talk Radio.
You know very well who you are. Don't let them hold you down. Breathe for the stars. You had a goal, but not that many. 'Cause you're the only one I'll give you good today.
Sports show for everyone, but we do cater to the novice female sports fans because we are in the business of helping to educate the ladies on the fundamentals of baseball, basketball, and football, all right? And we come to you each and every Wednesday night, outside of holidays and, you know, special occasions, all that good stuff. But we come to you Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. There are several ways for you to join the show. One, pick up your telephone and dial 347-826-7924. You can join us at blogtalkradio.com/LLSports2. And you can catch us live and in living color, Facebook Live. Tina D. Jackson is the name. We'll be going there shortly after 8 p.m. Okay? Let's see. Follow the show. Don't forget, blogtalkradio.com/LLSports2. Click on the follow link. Most importantly, make sure to activate your email. Otherwise, your name and number will not be counted. But you can find us in iTunes. Just type in LLSports2 with TJ and click subscribe and then follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Okay, yeah, getting started already. I've been off a week. I got a lot of built-up songs in me, okay? I'm just excited. So follow me, though. IG and TikTok at LLSports2TJ, and then also Facebook, Tina D. Jackson. It's a lot, I know. We're going to get it all condensed and concise in a little while here, but you just follow me whichever way you can, okay? All right, let's see. What's on my mind tonight real quick? Oh, you know, I must say we lost the former First Lady, Rosalynn Carter, and so they just had her services here in Georgia. Plains, Georgia, where her and President Carter currently still reside, and then here in the Atlanta metropolitan area. And she just seemed like such a great woman. Man, just all of the things and feelings and words that all the people have just spoken about her. She just very seemed to be philanthropic, very about her community, her family. Her family speaking about her was just so funny. So let's just make sure that we keep the Carters in our prayers. President Carter, man, the condition that he's in, but he was adamant about being at the services. So 77 years, that's a long time. You know, unfortunately, some people don't even make it living 77 years. But for them to have shared 77 years together, that's just remarkable. So let's make sure we keep them in our prayers, all right? A hard pivot, though. Friday night, Raising Kanan is back, okay, for all of my power, force, the ghost, the power family, Raising Kanan. I think it's season 3 or season 4. Premieres on Friday. Okay, y'all, make sure y'all catch that. And all of my NBC dramas return January 17th. Oh, yes, that's already a special day. January 17th, y'all, the shows are back. Remember, everyone's off strike in Hollywood and all that good stuff. So, yeah, they come back January 17th. So your girl is happy. TV and sports, that's what I live for. Okay, anyway, talk about sports. Let's talk about it. on, y'all. Forgot to turn my... There we go. Phone on silent. Let's talk about the rundown tonight. Week 12 recap. What a slate of games we have been having. And I think it's just going to go up from here. We only have 6 weeks left, y'all, though, of football. I cannot believe it. But, yes, week 12 recap. One and done. More like 11 and done. What is going on in Carolina? We'll talk about that. Pet peeves in sports. I want to know about your pet peeves because I have one that's coming up this week, so I want to know what yours are. And the breaking news today, Aaron Rodgers. What? 21-day set to practice? Doesn't mean he's returning to the field anytime soon, but we will talk about that. NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball news and notes, Wednesday Wikipedia, Lucinda's lyrics, TJ's motivational moment. You already know what it is. It's Wednesday night, so it is a jam-packed show for you again. All right, so let's go ahead. We'll jump into our first breaks. The breaks tonight, say it ain't so. Hall & Oates, in court, feuding. We can't have that. I can't go for that. So you already know what the song's going to be for tonight. You know what it is, though. It's going to be a jam-packed show for you. We'll go ahead and jump to our first break, and then on the outside of that, we'll bring in the ladies to talk Week 12 recap. Oh, yes, it's LL Sports 2 with TJ.
no. We can't go for that, y'all. We can't go for that. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. What is going on with Hall & Oates, y'all? We can't go for that. But you know what we can go for? I tell you what we can go for, though. We're going to bring in, we got to go for the ladies. The ladies who love to talk sports. I'm waiting. There we go. Here we go. Oh, yes. It's a triple threat in the house tonight. Aunt Lou, Janelle. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening, ladies. Yes.
Good evening.
It's going to be one of those nights. You know, y'all know we can't be away too long because then we come back and there's no telling what you get on the podcast here. So good evening, everybody. We are now live on Facebook. Shout out to everybody tuning in. Let me go back here. My Auntie Kim in the house. Shout out. What's going on with you? William Gilliard, thank you so much for tuning in to the show. Auntie Karen at Chi-Town holding down the fort for your girl. And you already know Denise Green is holding down the timeline. Yes, hello, everybody. We're back. I hope everybody had a wonderful giving weekend or holiday. But, Niner fans, I want to know, who is the better linebacker to y'all, or was the better linebacker? So, again, it's not necessarily, it can be about statistics, the statistical talent, or it could just be who you felt gave, was more dominant or important for the 49ers during that time, Patrick Willis or Navarro Bowman. Okay, and of course I will tell you, and pet peeves. So ladies, I want you to think about this. I'm going to pose the question, and then we're going to talk about it a little later in the show. But what are your pet peeves in sports specifically, or if you have any, I mean, but just think about that, and we will dive into that a little bit later. Let's see. Auntie Kim, how's she at the hospital? Oh, okay. Oh, please give her my love. We will lift her up in prayer. My Auntie Kim says they are at the hospital. My cousin Nikki had surgery. So please make sure that we lift them in prayer. I pray everything went well, or is going well. She had surgery. Okay, so she already had it. All right. But, yes, let's please keep them lifted in prayer. All right. Okay, ladies. So, yes, think about that. I want to know what your pet peeves in sports are. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and dive into this Week 12 recap. Oh, my goodness. I don't even really know where I want to start, but we'll just start with the Thanksgiving game, okay? Lions and the Packers. The Lions let me down, let everybody down, I think. They lost to the Packers 29-22. Love, this was his third career three-passing touchdown game. Yeah, he was 22 of 32, 268 yards, three touchdowns. They were eight-and-a-half-point underdog. That's tied for the third largest upset on Thanksgiving since 1970. It also snapped a four-game losing streak versus the Lions for the Packers. And the Packers have now won three of their last four games after losing four straight weeks 4-8. For the Lions, this is their seventh straight loss on Thanksgiving. I know a lot of people don't believe in curses, but I don't know. I mean, scale of 1 to 10. 10 being, you just knew that the Lions were going to win. What was your comfort your comfort level of the Lions winning on Thanksgiving this year? Whoever wants to jump in.
I would have thought they would have won, especially with their record. I didn't even know about this, their past history. But I just figured with them having a record like that and being contenders, that they would have defeated them.
I know, right? I know. Now, what was the comfort level of the Lions winning on Thursday?
Ma'am, I was extremely comfortable with choosing them. I'm very uncomfortable with the fact that they lost. That broke my heart. It started a losing streak for me that I didn't appreciate.
You know, I didn't realize it was seven straight losses on Thanksgiving. I was thinking back. I was like, man, I thought they won last year. But no, they went down to the wire and they ended up losing. I just, again, I hate to believe in curses and give energy to that, but the Lions, that just might be. The way they did Barry Sanders, and shout out to Prime Video. I haven't watched it yet, but the series documentary, Bye Bye Barry, I cannot wait to watch it. I've heard really good things about it. But it might just explain why the Lions cannot win on Thanksgiving. You couldn't have told me that the Lions were not going to beat the Packers. And I know divisional games, we talk about it all the time. It doesn't matter record. It doesn't matter who's hurt, who's on the field. Your divisional opponents are always your worst battles, your hardest battles, two times every season. But I still thought that the Detroit Lions were going to win on Thanksgiving this year. I just knew this was their year. And then we let them off the hook. Yeah, seven straight losses. And then this is a seven-game win streak, though, was snapped in the division. So they were, 7-0 in the division, but that got snapped. And Jared Goff, three fumbles lost in this game. That was a career high for him. So, Detroit City. What up, though? You lost. That's what up. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. And the score is not indicative of the game because Packers had this from kickoff. I don't think it was even close. Thought they were going to try to come back, but they didn't. So, I don't know, ladies, what do you feel? Do you think there might be a curse over the Detroit Lions? I don't know.
No, I wouldn't say curse, but I would say they need to get their act together because when I choose you to win, you're supposed to do it.
So now I'm hearing just a strong sense of disgust in the picks, but you did pretty well though.
No, man, you and this is why I try not to take these picks too seriously because. It does not matter if I'm in first place or if I'm in second place. By the time we get down to the wire, I always end up in last place. And this week did not help me.
Well, feel good, though. You are closer than I am. Six games, I don't know how I'm going to make this up, but we'll see. This year.
Somehow or another, I promise you, somehow or another, you managed to do it every single year. I have no worries about you. Me, on the other hand, I'm going to end up at the bottom of the totem pole again, feeding around with people like the Lions.
I tell you. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, Lions, they let me down. They did. And now there are two losses to Baltimore now. Baltimore was just extremely ugly, so it wasn't that bad. But they do kind of give you cause to pause. The Lions do, but it can't take away, can't take away from them. They're still 8-3, still, leading the division, and I don't see a tremendous fall off, but we'll have to see. They just shocked me, though. I just knew they were going to win this one. All right, then we had the Commanders and the Cowboys. This one was Cowboys all the way through. They beat down the Commanders 40. Prescott, his third game this season with 4-plus passing touchdowns, 17 passing touchdowns total in his last five games. So looks like that beating that they took against the Niners, and now mind you, the teams that they have beat have all been under 500. So, but they did play well against the Eagles. So I cannot take that. They should have won that game versus the Eagles, but they didn't. So we'll see how the Cowboys fare at the end of the season. But Deron Blanche, shout out to him, and he is. The only reason he is playing is due to the injury for Trevon Diggs. He got injured, week two or three? He's been out for the season. And Deron Bland has been tearing up the defense of the Cowboys. His fifth interception return for a touchdown this season, that now is an NFL single-season record. And we still have, like I said, six games to go. So, mind you, Deion never did it. Who was it? Revis Island never did it. So Deron Bland, he is tearing up. And it might be in contention for Defensive Player of the Year. So they have outscored their opponent 205-60 in their home games this season. And now they sit 5-0, a 5-0 home record. They've won every home game this season by at least 20 points. This was their third straight win by 20 points. That's the team's longest streak since 1980. And pretty much not a lot to talk about with Washington. This was their largest loss since 2021, week 15, and that loss was also to Dallas. They lost by 42 points. But ladies, before I ask this next question, any comments on the blowout, Cowboys and the Commanders? Whoever want to jump in?
No, we pretty much expected they were going, you know, the Cowboys were going. That's the thing about the Cowboys that's so frustrating is because they do what they're supposed to do with these teams that we expect them to win. They either blow them out or embarrass them one way or another. They do what they're supposed to do. But when they're playing, you know, teams that have records above 500, they do nothing. And that's so disappointing because I need to see them actually show up when it matters.
Yeah. But like I said, they did well against the Eagles. That first matchup, I believe the second matchup, and it's going to be in Dallas. So, but they did very well against the Eagles, and act like I said, should have won that game. Probably one of Dak's best games that he had, minus running out of bounds on that 2-point conversion. But yeah, they didn't lay an egg against the Eagles this go around. Hey Lou, any thoughts on the Cowboys Commanders game?
I didn't think they was gonna blow them out like that, but I knew they was gonna win.
Yeah, I was too. I wasn't expecting such a blowout because the Commanders, they generally play well with division opponents. Maybe it's just the Eagles. I don't know, but I was expecting a little bit more competition from the Commanders. But I tell you what, I wasn't expecting. Good old Dolly, Dolly Parton, the halftime show, y'all. Dolly came out in there. Dallas Cowboys uniform, cheerleading. I said, you better go ahead, Dolly. I was not. She did that. Now, mind you, I could probably go the rest of my life without seeing that visual, because Dolly didn't, you know, Dolly legs was like, oh, Dolly. And she was holding on for dear life. But 77 years old, she got out there. I love me some Dolly Parton. I saw her induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and that's when I saw, like, the history of what she's contributed to music. Again, she had those two hits. She wrote those two hits, I Will Always Love You and Jolene, in the same evening. Dolly was in pain, and she profited off that pain. But shout out to Dolly Parton, though, y'all. Tell me your thoughts on Dolly's half show. Whoever wants to jump in.
Dolly looked good at 77. Now, you couldn't tell if she had wrinkles or cellulite because, like I said, she had red sparkles or something. But she's keeping herself together to be that old. But she didn't move it a lot. I don't know if she had moved too much, she might have gotten dizzy. But the old gal sang. She's still singing.
Yeah.
But, you know, she could have. She looked like a young cowgirl. She really did. But I just don't know. If I would have got out there with them shorts up there like that. But old Dolly taking care of herself, but you can tell that somebody was holding on to her.
Yeah, she was holding on that stage for dear life. I ain't mad at her, though, because Lord knows. But she did. She sounded really good. She really did. Janelle, any thoughts on the queen of country?
No, I'm with you. Kudos to her, because at 77... I let's be honest, I at 27, I wouldn't have had the audacity to get up there in no outfit like that. So, good for her.
What did you say, Janelle, at 27? Oh, goodness. That's funny. But, yeah, I cannot lie. When I saw her in that outfit, I was like, you better go, Dolly. There was no perfect, there's nothing else she could have wore that would have topped that. I mean, for her to come out in a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader outfit, She did that. And I was so happy she sung Jolene, too. I just love that song. Now, We Are the Champions. That was a little, I was like, well, did she write that? Because, you know, Dolly is her writing skills, you know, she's been a part of a lot of, you know, hits. So, and I was like, I was talking to my brother. I'm like, well, are you sure? He's like, no, she has nothing to do with We Are the Champions. I'm a little confused because the Dallas Cowboys, they definitely are not, have not been in quite a while champions. So maybe she was a champion for getting up there at 77 in that uniform and singing. Maybe that was the champion. Because I don't know what else.
Tina, don't act like you don't realize that the Dallas fans are delusional about who they are. So she was singing that song for them.
You are so right, Janelle, you are so right, because they really think that they are the champions. They're just the American team. I thought it was the Bills, but it might be the Cowboys.
Okay.
But champions, they have yet to prove that.
Yeah, that was Jared Jones, he's doing too much. If he's the one that I'm pretty sure he was behind it, then, you know, he probably looked at the playlist and said, go ahead, Dolly, add this one for us. But Dolly should have left that one off because they not the champion. But it's okay. Dolly's the champion, so we'll take that. 347-826-7924. That's the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. Sasha says, yeah, I didn't understand her singing Queen as well. Yeah, that one threw me. I said, you sure she don't have any writing credits on it? I had to look that up. I was like, y'all sure? And she doesn't. Yeah, they just lose. But it's okay. It's all right, Cowboy fans. All right, then the Thursday night game, Thanksgiving night, it was St. Louis' team and my team. And I thought it was going to be, you know, kind of in that third quarter now, got a little tight. But then 49ers, we did what we did. Beat the Seahawks 31-13 in Seattle. That was the good thing. Happy that, you know, on the road. Purdy, 21 of 30, 209 yards, a touchdown. Did have an interception, had that pick six right there. I was like, oh, Purdy. I thought that was going to give the Seahawks a lot of momentum, but it didn't. Defense showed up, six sacks, two takeaways, and Bosa had two of those sacks. McCaffrey, 11 rushing touchdowns this season. That is a team record. This is our 10th straight division win. That's the longest active streak. And my 49ers are now 8-0 with a healthy offensive tackle of Trent Williams and wide receiver Deebo Samuel this season. And the Seahawks, they are now 6-0 when scoring 20-plus points this season. They are 0-5 when scoring fewer than 20 points. So, yeah. Aunt Lou, any comments or thoughts on the game?
Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. They got beaten down. That's all I can say. I expected them to put up a better fight. But Geno was running around there hopping. Poor baby. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson should have been there because we didn't have a healthy quarterback. If I just want to make an excuse, I said, we didn't have a healthy quarterback. But no, they just not. Their team is not better than the 49ers. You just got to call a spade, and I'm okay.
Oh. I appreciate that, Aunt Lou. I really do. I appreciate it. Any regrets on the Seahawks over the Denver Broncos at this particular time?
Ooh, I don't know yet. I know them Seahawks have won like four straight, right? I mean, I'm sorry, the Broncos have won about four. Russell Wilson is looking like the Russell Wilson of yesteryears. And those boys are starting to play some defense because, you know, Seahawks do have great defense.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with Geno, who we're going to get as a quarterback, because that boy can't be out there playing sore like that forever.
Yeah, he was definitely hobbling, especially in that fourth quarter. I think we got
hobbling and probably he got sacked six times. They was trying to kill him, that's all. But I just think that they need to put some money out there and get a new quarterback. They didn't get, did they give it all to Russ? Russell's gone now. But I'm looking to see what's going to happen with Denver. Don't mean that I'm going to be switching now because, you know, I'm not following the man. I got to follow a team. But, yeah, you heard that, Janelle. Did you hear it? I hope you did. But
I heard it, but we'll see what's going to happen.
Because they looking mighty good. You got to give it to them. Old Broncos are looking good. Russell playing him and his coach is dealing. You know, when there's unity, there's always strength and power when
that's
you're unified and y'all not arguing and bickering and stuff like that.
That is
so Russell's doing his thing. Now, I can't say that. I only think there's no disunity with Geno and them. Geno's just injured, bless his heart. And I've got to really check out the Seahawks. I don't know what's going on. But I just know that, you know, we lost because we weren't you guys were a much better team. I just got to call it what to call it, and I'm not stuttering or nothing. I'm just speaking truth.
That's true. You are definitely right, and I appreciate that. Alberto, I see you in the house. What's going on there? Thank y'all so much for tuning in to the show tonight. And I'm posing the question to all my 49er fans out there. Who was the better linebacker in your opinion, whether it's statistical or just who you thought had a better, more impact? Patrick Willis or Navarro Bowman? Someone stopped me at the bar, and they said, oh, Patrick Willis. I was like, oh, yeah, now statistically he was the man. But Bowman, oh, yeah, he's that's my heart right there. What's going on, Dad? I see you. I know you're going to say no. You already know, Dad. But Niner fans, hit me up. Who was it? Patrick Willis, 52, or Navarro Bowman, 53? Who do you think was the better linebacker out of those that dynamic duo there? All right, but just a shout out to you, Aunt Lou, though. I definitely appreciate that. Yeah, my 49ers, we look really, really good. The defense, with the addition of Chase Young, oh, my goodness, those two bookends on the left and the right side, quarterbacks are going to be in trouble. We haven't really dealt with Baker Mayfield. I think he's kind of a mobile quarterback, but this Sunday is going to be a good test for us. It really is going up against Jalen Hurts and seeing if we can contain, you know, the running quarterback. But I feel really, really good about my team as long as we can stay healthy. All right, I want to get to the phone lines here because I believe, let's see.
Anyway,
Lou, is that your night?
It is.
Come on in here and talk to us.
All right, well, the Dallas game was something else. 45-10. The Commanders looked like they were just lost the whole game. I mean, it looked even. It's like they forgot to show up. But I'm a happy camper. Unfortunately, it didn't help our situation because the Eagles won in the Sunday game, and that didn't help us out. So it's kind of like, well, it was good and bad because, you know, we need them to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
Well, I need them to lose. Let's put it that way.
And,
yeah.
Well, let me ask you this.
And I couldn't go for that one either. Oh boy. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, Lou, let me ask you this. Because the Eagles always seem to find a way to win. They can be down in the first half, look just, you know, anemic. But they can find a way. Does that how much does that scare you going into the rest of the season?
Well, I don't know about scare me, but, you know, I do find it to be, you know, a bit of a problem because, like you said, they always find a way to win. I mean, I thought, you know, they're going to lose against the Bills last week, but they found a way to sneak it in overtime and, you know, spoil the good game. Well, for me, anyway. You know, I thought Buffalo was in the bag for sure.
Right.
But somehow little brother Kelsey found a way to win. Yeah.
He sounds so disgusting.
Yeah, I'm pretty Jason his little brother.
I got you. Well, Lou, what was your thoughts on Dolly Parton's halftime show?
Well, you cut out, but say it again.
What was your opinion on Dolly Parton's halftime show?
I am some of a Dolly Parton fan, but I thought, well, he's doing a rock album at 77 years old. I think it's a bit too late. I mean, she did give a good performance. I'll give you We Are the Champions. No, you haven't won since 1994, so I don't know how you can say that.
Right.
But I guess it was, you know, just in spirit, you know, being there at Thanksgiving and, you know, helping, you know, Drew Mom for a win. So, yeah, I get the point with that. You know, maybe it was, you know, like a rallying cry.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay.
But I'm a big Queen fan myself, too. So, you know, kind of, you know, give and take.
Gotcha. Okay. Anything else on your mind tonight you want to share with us?
Well, let's see. Of course, you know, the Lions, yeah, I think they are cursed. I mean, they haven't won a championship since the dinosaur era ended. So, but, you know, you have to give them credit for the season they've had this year so far. Unfortunately, they fell a little bit short, you know, in the Thanksgiving game. I thought maybe they were going to pull it out. You know, they fell behind early, but they were trying to make, you know, a big effort coming back in the second half and then into the fourth quarter. But just a little short, and I was hoping they were going to pull through. The choice been good since they got rid of, you know, since they got rid of Stafford. You know, he tried so hard, you know, to be on a winning team, and he couldn't do it. So they sent in Goff, who wanted a Super Bowl for the Rams, and now he's making headway with Detroit, which is something we haven't seen in our lifetime. Well, my lifetime anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm not that young either. Not anymore.
All right.
I'll tell you one thing, though. Hold up. But the AFC East, though, I think it's now becoming the AFC least. I mean, all the teams in the division are playing like, well, I'll put this away, like death. I mean, even the Bills who were decent, you know, in September, October, they have really fallen flat. And this division is looking horrible every week. The Jets, well, what do you expect? I mean, you go from one blunder to another. You can't find a good backup quarterback.
Right.
I mean, you know, of course, it's a shame that, you know, our star quarterback got hurt. Then you had to come in with this schlub, who I think it was way too long to get benched because he deserved it. So it's like, you know, you go from, you know, one blooper highlight reel to another.
Yeah.
To be honest,
yeah.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers should come back. You know, there's only going to be back. Well, he's cleared, but not cleared for the be on the field for contact. Even if he did, I think it'd be a mistake at this point in the season because, let's face it, at 4-8, I really don't see the Jets making the postseason. So it wouldn't make sense for Rodgers to come back this season.
Yeah.
At all. Now, if we're in contention, if we were 8-4 the other way, I would say there's a possibility. Although I don't know if I think we want to risk it, especially now at his age, because in football years, he's what, 62? Or something like that. I don't know if you want to take a chance with it. Now, remember, you age once every 3 years you're in the league in football. So factor that in.
A lot of people are thinking,
what kind of a theory is that? Believe me, I know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the whole division and the once almighty Patriots. Oh, boy. One of those that this is the worst in the post-Tom Brady era.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for so long they dominated with Brady and the Gronkinator, who does terrible commercials, by the way. You know, this is not the same team. This is not the same team that won 6 Super Bowls in a row and thought they would and people thought they'd never lose. They'd be dominant forever. But then Brady pulled up for Tampa Bay, making them a winner, and the Patriots are looking like pre-Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots that I used to know, like, you know, 2-14 and whatnot, 3-13, you know, they were the trashiest team in the NFL. Now, after being on the upswing for a decade, now they're back down to where they used to be. And they're worse than the Jets. Well, that's the only thing that makes me, that's the only consolation I think that there is, that they are being back to being worse than the Jets.
Yeah, that's true. It's definitely Miami's division to lose. So, and I think they have a very strong hold on it right now, so. Yeah,
that's the only decent team in the AFC East. East, oh boy, AFC East.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get the point.
All right. Well, as always, go ahead and give us your show information again.
All right, it's called the AFC is a trash dump, aka the Enhanced Sports Show. Okay. Oh yeah. Well, it is. It is a trash dump. Yeah. Okay. We're on Saturdays, 4-6 Eastern Time. Keep that in mind, it's Eastern Time. That's what we go by. Oh, wait, you're in Atlanta, right?
I am, yes.
Okay, then it's same time for you. Number call is 512-434-662. We'll be discussing the last 6 weeks of the season. We'll also take a look at it's championship week in college football, so we're going to run down all the games of that, even the ones that are being played on Friday night. Remember, before the show 2 weeks ago, we didn't know it was going to be in the conference championship, so I did not do, you know, a preview of what was going to happen. We're also going to take a look at what people think of, now this is especially for NBA fans, what is your take with the so-called in-season tournament? Some might like it, some might think it's a complete joke and whatnot, but I'll let the callers decide on that one. I got kind of mixed reactions about that. whatever news we can come up with MLB, we'll take a look maybe at some college sports. We'll also have the ridiculous sign of the week.
Okay.
Best and worst sports moments of November, because we didn't do it last week because of Thanksgiving. And, of course, thoughts and comments are always welcome. So if you got time, please call in. Remember, we're only on 3 weeks, 3 weeks this year, the 2nd, 9th, and 16th, because after that we are on holiday sabbatical.
All right. I got you. Yeah, and I should be able to check you out in the next coming weeks because I'm having time off. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for coming in again, Lou. You take care.
Thank you, ladies. Be back.
All right. Bye now. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies on LL Sports 2. We'll be getting it in, Tony. Shout out to everybody watching on Facebook Live. Don't forget to share the show and follow me, LL Sports 2 TJ, TikTok, and IG. Frederick, what's going on? My Issa, thank y'all so much for tuning into the show tonight. Sasha had Roosevelt, I see you in the house. William says, I respect Dolly Parton. How many 77-year-olds can get out there? That is so true. I loved it. I loved when I saw the outfit, I was sold. And then she started out with Jolene. I was like, you better go on, Dolly. Let's see. All my 49er fans, I posed the question, who, in your opinion, was the better linebacker or more important to the team, Patrick Willis or Navarro Bowman? Sasha says, I believe the Bowman-Willis debate is very difficult because the injury took so much from both. That is so true. With that said, of what we have to grade, I would say Pat. But Pat played when it wasn't much happening outside of him. Bo played well with Pat and the entire team playing well. You factor that with his injury, it's just difficult. No, I totally get it. The injury to Navarro Bowman shortened his career dramatically. And then even, you know, with Patrick Willis, his toe injury kind of cut his career short. So as far as Evity, but I guess just the impact of when they were able to play. I know, like I said, a lot of people say statistically that Patrick Willis was, you know, the man on our defense. But I think, you know, if there were no Bowman, there would be no Patrick Willis. So, that's just my personal opinion, but, you know, I just love Mr. Bowman. I just think he was the heart and soul of that defense. But y'all hear, I want to know. I want to know your thoughts, though. All right. C. Green, thank you so much. Frank, thank you so much for tuning in. Frederick says, Eagles going down Sunday, no doubt in my mind at all, ladies. We're going to talk about that, okay? All right, ladies. So let's see. Was that all? 49ers, Seahawks.
Okay. Now, before you move on, because you didn't give me a chance to give you my opinion on this game, I just want to say one thing. Actually, two things. Number one, I know you guys are going to win. I wasn't worried about that. But what did disappoint me is one of the reasons why I love to watch your division is because it does not matter how horrible the team is playing throughout the year. You guys play each other super hard.
Yes.
You play each other. Those are always some enjoyable games, especially when you are when you guys are playing the Seahawks and the Rams. You guys play each other hard, and I love it. I was very disappointed because I felt like the Seahawks didn't show up this time. But for you, you should actually be super excited because your team has literally beat every team in the division so far. So you guys are riding high right now in that division.
Yeah. I am very pleased with the production that my 49ers have been playing with. I'm very pleased how they look. They look very focused coming off of that three-game losing skid. Injuries, you know, seem to be at a minimal, but we have been, you know, we lost Hufanga for the year. I think we just lost another somebody in our secondary. Not for the year, but it's kind of banged up. But see, we picked up two defensive players this past week on the practice squad. So barring injuries, that I feel good. In the words of who is that, Stephanie Mills, I feel good all over. Yes, indeed. But we still see 6 games left, and special team. Oh, we also special team player. Okay. Thank you, Josh. Anita Niner, what's going on with you? Vicky Green, thank you so much for tuning in to the show tonight. And don't forget pet peeves, too. I want to know what your pet peeves are in sports. Everybody on the timeline, hit me up on that. But, yes, my Niners are looking very good. But the game of the week, which is coming up this week, we will definitely get to that. I just want to get through these sports here real quick because we are going to dive into Eagles-Niners coming up on Sunday. All right, so we had the first Black Friday game. Ladies, just give me your thoughts on the Black Friday game. One, did you watch it? Alu, Janelle, and timeline, did y'all watch the Black Friday game?
I watched it, but I didn't watch it when it was on. I was busy.
Okay. And Lou, did you catch the Black Friday game? I think you're on mute. Hey, Lou? Okay. You're still
Miss Lucinda.
On mute. I see her. She's still there. Okay, well, she'll come in when she can. McCaffrey will be the killer. Yeah, I agree. I don't even know if it's going to be McCaffrey, Frederick, because I think they're going to be expecting him. But we'll definitely talk about it. I did watch it. Let me say this. It was on. Now, mind you, at the beginning of the season, you know, when the schedule came out, we thought this was going to be a really good matchup because we thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be the quarterback. So take that away and – you know, the allure and the luster of the Black Friday game was already kind of missing. Well, not kind of, it was missing its lure. I just don't know how I feel about a game on Black Friday. Do we really need a football game on Black Friday? I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about that. So now going forward, you know, we probably will continue to have a game played on Friday. If the competition is better, yeah, of course it's going to make for a better watch, but I just don't know if we need a game on Black Friday. I just think the NFL is doing too much. But the Dolphins, they beat them down 34-13. Miami leads the NFL in total yards per game and passing yards per game. They are second in the NFL in rushing yards per game. All right. And the Jets, poor Jets, they have scored, that is the fewest in the NFL. So, Jets, man, just taking gone. I don't know what they can do to be put out of their misery. All right, then we had the Sunday games. We got the Steelers and the Bengals. I cannot, Janelle, you and Terry, I can't believe y'all forgot that Burrow is out. He is out for the season. There is no more Joe Burrow. I'm trying to rhyme. Anyway.
Ma'am, when I say it slipped my mind, I promise you that was the least thing on my mind. And even after I had been reading some stuff and trying to make a decision, I promise you, I still did not remember that. Him and Deshaun Watson, I forgot, was out. I'm like, okay, what is going on with you, Janelle? I don't know, but.
Yeah, it was still a toss-up for me, though, the Bengals and the Steelers, because, again, divisional matchup. They always play each other tough. So even without a Joe Burrow, you know, it's out that the Steelers, because, you know, their offense has been pretty anemic. Defense shows up, but they've had a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball, too, and during games. It seems like they always lose a key player, the Steelers do, during a game. So it was still a toss-up for me, and plus the Bengals were at home. But I'm glad I did go with the Steelers. But for once, well, I should say, yeah, for once, the Steelers offense, they had the Bengals. Do you know the last time that the Steelers offense racked up more than 400 yards? What year that was? I'm going to take a guess.
Let's say in the early 2000s.
Oh, no, not that long ago. Ain't been that bad that long. No, it was week two of 2020. So they have it. It's been three seasons now, though, going into the third season. 400-plus total yards. This was their first game. So that was the last game that Ben Roethlisberger, the last season Ben Roethlisberger was there.
My thing is, I'm just happy that they have not folded and been flushed down the toilet, because I promise you, I thought after Ben left, they was going to struggle for years and years without winning a game.
Yeah. So shout out to Mike Tomlin. That goes to his fortitude there. But Steelers, they said it's 7-4. another winning, you know, barring any you know, any catastrophic injuries or anything. But yeah, they are 7-4, so still on that track for a winning record. The Steelers defense ranks top 5 in points per game allowed, 18.6, that's 5th, and takeaways, they have 20, that's tied 4th most in the NFL. And for the Bengals, they are the first team to play in an AFC championship game and then be below 500 through 11 games of the following season since the Jaguars started 3-8 in 2018. So, again, just when you watch, you know, no more Burrow, they will not be, and he won't be returning. Yeah, just, you just hate to see it because you want him to not be winning, not because of injury. Texans and the Jaguars. Texans let me down. Oh, my goodness. This was the battle for the AFC title. Not title, but who could be the leader for the AFC South. Jaguars would have had a one-game lead on the Texans, but if they would have won and then had a better record at the end, they would have had both wins over the Jaguars. And the Texans beat them down in the first time. It was 37-17. So that's why I was thinking that, you know, Texas at home now too. But, yeah, the Jacksonville Jaguars have something to say about that. Trevor Lawrence, 23 of 39, 364 yards, a touchdown, an interception. C.J. Stroud still had a pretty good game, 26 of 36, 304 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had 47 yards off of 6 rushes and a touchdown. But the Jaguars are now 15-5 over their last 20 games since week 9 of 2022. That's 5th best win-loss in the NFL. And for Houston, their kicker, Matt Amendola, he missed a 58-yard field goal with 34 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter, and now he's going to be missing the remainder of the season because the Houston Texans let him go. Now, I don't know if you can let the man go because he missed a 58-yarder. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Janelle?
I think that was – yeah, that it would have been one thing if we were talking about – you know, he had been within 25 yards or 30 yards, 40 yards. But we talk about this all the time. When it gets beyond a certain point, those kicks become more and more difficult because you have to take everything into consideration. The win, you know, especially with some of these games that we watched. As a matter of fact, one game I watched earlier today, some of these special teams people have gotten so good that they're literally getting at these kickers so quick. So, you know, the ball is getting blocked. So you can't, 58 yards, that's a lot. I don't know who made that decision, but that's a lot to have to let somebody go over because 58 yards is not an easy way.
Yeah. And, I mean, maybe it's because Houston hasn't had to depend on the kicker much this season, but for one game, that's I don't know, that's kind of harsh there. And it was just short. You know, if it would have been 57, it would have went through because it hit the bottom of the goalpost. So it was like a doink miss. And it just happened to fall outside versus, you know, falling inside the upright. But, yeah, I think that's a little harsh there, Houston. And, you know, the offense could have gotten a few more yards if better play calling. So to have Amendola be the scapegoat there, not too much of a good look. I didn't like that. All right, 347-826-7924. That's the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. Aunt Lou, are you with us? I'm just now.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you there.
I had gotten a call, but I handled that. I think that they should not have filed fired that kicker. Why did they do that?
Yeah, that's a lot. 58 yards, that's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know they have one job, but come on now, 58, that's asking a lot. But we'll see, you know, we'll see how that fares for them in the remaining 6 games. But, yeah, that doggone in Houston, they let me down. No, let them off the hook. But Jaguars, they're now 8-3. But Texans, 6-5, so still, you know, formidable in that division. All right, then we have the Bucks and the Colts. Bucks fell 20-27. The Colts have 16 consecutive games with a takeaway. That's the longest active streak in the NFL. And bad news, though, for the Colts, their running back, Jonathan Taylor, he had surgery today for his thumb, and they're saying that he will likely miss a couple of weeks. But it turned out to not be a season-ending injury, which they were fearing when he was first initially hurt during the game. And now the Bucs, they have lost 6 of their last 7 games after entering their Week 5 bye at 3-1. All right. The Battle of the Bads, man, how the mighty have fallen. Y'all remember these two teams back in the day, the Patriots and the Giants. These are former Super Bowl rivals. And now they can't even score over 10 points. What you say? What is going on? Patriots 7, Giants 10. That's pretty much all I'm going to say on that game. Any comments, y'all, because I can't waste any more time.
The Giants.
Okay, I heard
Angel
first. Yeah. No, go ahead,
Angel. Didn't the Giants lost, didn't they?
No, they won 10-7.
They won. Okay. All right, yeah, that was pitiful. It's just the scoring is just so bad. Even, and I ain't even talking about the Ravens, but the Ravens didn't do as good as I thought they would. Well, let me just go on. I'm jumping the gun. Go on, Janelle.
What I will say is that I'm going to continue to say this until somebody actually listens and does it. Bill Belichick as a coach is phenomenal. The man, his skills are undeniable. As a GM, if they don't fire him and bring somebody in there who can actually get some people in there to help him, because they right now the Patriots have no – when they lose, nobody is shocked. It's when they win that everybody is stunned.
Right,
and it shouldn't be that way. They need to, they need some help. They need to get somebody in there who can actually do something for them, because he is not clearly he had. I feel like right now he has Jerry Jones syndrome or something. I don't know what's going on, but I know they need to fix the problem, because to see the Patriots like this. I mean, we knew when Tom Brady left that, you know, it was going to take them a minute to get acclimated. But Brady been gone for a minute. Y'all need to get it together. Because
exactly.
The Patriots is one of those teams. And you are completely right. When Tom Brady and Eli Manning used to play against each other, man, that was something to see. We used to love that. That was a battle for the ages. This foolishness that they got us watching now, I can't with them. I just can't.
Yeah, and there's nothing on the horizon. And this back and forth, the teetering between the quarterbacks, Mac Jones and Zappy, you know, just it's the battle of the bads at this point. You're going to have to pick one, though, Belichick. You can't keep going back and forth in these games. But the talent just isn't there. And who would have thought that there would just be that the Patriots would be this bad, though, and like you said, for this long.
To see what I don't know if you've ever paid attention, but to see Bill Belichick's reactions on the when some of the plays happened, I'm like, dude, how did you not know that was going to happen? I'm telling you, it is just a sad sight to see.
Yeah, and honestly, Janelle, when I watched. I'll be honest with you. The Patriots, they are in the corner somewhere at the bar, and I really don't pay attention. But you're right. When I do see where the camera pans detached, this is the first season I think that when you look at Bill Belichick, he just looks detached from the team. He sits there and he's like, oh, you know, he'll hang his head, or he'll be like, oh, goodness. And like you said, it's like, what did you expect? I mean, what are y'all doing in practice? That's what I want to know. Because it can't be too much better than what we're seeing it on the field. So you have to know going in, and it is just going to be a waste of everybody's time. 50 minutes is a waste of time. Go ahead and just
Are you talking about the NFL champion? Super Bowl winners?
Yeah, the six-time NBA. I'm sorry, NFL champions, New England Patriots. But they, you know, right now they like the Cowboys. That was back then.
Okay.
They have nothing. Lately. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's just sad to watch. It really is. And it's getting worse by the week. I'm thankful that my brother is very realistic and, you know, he has absolutely no expectations. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. Miss T, thank you so much for tuning in. Oscar, I see you. Willie Grant and Terry Wilson, thanks. Cynthia, thank you so much for tuning in to the show tonight. Don't forget, share the show, y'all, and follow me, LL Sports 2 TJ, TikTok, and IG. All right, so let's see. Panthers and the Titans. Panthers fell to the Titans 10-17. These were some really low-scoring games, though. But for Tennessee, Will Levis, he remains undefeated at home in Nissan Stadium. He's 2-0, but he's 0-3 on the road in his career. And for the Panthers, poor Bryce Young, 18 of 31, 194 yards. I mean, they are their offense, the whole team is just anemic. It really is. But it's so bad. They're 1-10. I understand that. But bad enough to fire the coach mid-season, but the Panthers, they fired head coach Frank Reich after a 1-10 start. His first season with the team, pretty much a rookie team. So, of course, they have a rookie quarterback. I can't name anybody on the Panthers team, offense or defense, which is pretty sad. But then they named their interim coach, Chris Tabor. He was on the offensive side of the ball. And then he promptly fired quarterback coach Josh McCown and assistant head coach, running back coach Duke Staley. So they are cleaning house. Ladies, and this is
the problem.
Again,
it's not.
Well, let me just say this. So they fire him after a 1-10 start, and they just fired Matt Rhule after only 2 seasons. So what is going on in Carolina? Go ahead, Janelle.
The problem is the owner. This is one of the owner coach situations that ticks me off because of the fact that their owner spent years as a partial owner with the Steelers, and he should know he should have an inkling of what it takes in order to win a game, and he should be able to put something together better than what he's been doing. Because number one, he always jumps the gun. I understand 1-10 is horrible. That is wretched. Let's just be real. But your previous and even the coach that they had before that, he let go too soon. He and that coach actually was making positive changes. So I think the biggest part of this is that he's another one who needs some help. Clearly, you don't have a clue what you're doing. You didn't pay attention to anything that was going on when you was in Pittsburgh. I just don't understand. He needs to knock this off. He needs to do a better vetting process than what he's been doing. And them cleaning house right now, I promise you, it's not going to make a difference. Their GM needs to do better with bringing talent in there. I feel so bad for Bryce Young because they are going to make him the fall guy behind this when he's not the problem. The problem was the atmosphere that he went into. Bryce Young was, when I tell you that this he needs, he should have landed in a better situation. He really should have. I was hoping that I don't want this to be a situation where because he landed where he landed, this is going to deter his growth. Because we talk about it all the time. When you have a talent and you don't have the proper coaching around them, it becomes a problem and stagnates their growth. And I don't want this to be the situation for Bryce because he actually is a fantastic quarterback. It's just like you said, his team sucks. The offensive line always got him running or on his back because they can't protect him. The defense is not doing anything to keep the other side from putting points on the board. The whole team just needs to be – they need some help, period.
Ain't Lou, any thoughts on Carolina firing the coach?
No.
Sasha, I mentioned, she said they could have elevated Wilkes instead of going outside the house, but I thank them for CLC. You already know. Yes, indeed. Thank you for Christian McCaffrey. But this is the thing. So you had Steve Wilkes. So they had Matt Rhule. They let him go. they interim coach Steve Wilks. Steve Wilks came in and won, I think, like five games toward the end of the season. Now,
yes.
Of course, no, he didn't make it to the playoffs. But, I mean, they were horrible before Steve Wilks came in. But at least he had a spark of energy, and the team seemed to relate to him. Then you let Steve Wilks go for Frank Wright. Okay, what do you think they're going to do? If Steve Wilks could get the team to win five games with nothing, you bring in Bryce Young, what do you think they could have done? At least it seems like he could have mobilized the team and made a little something out of nothing if he did that without Bryce Young. But, no, you go ahead and you get rid of Steve Wilks, you bring in Frank Wright, and now you let him go after 10 games. Now, I can understand when you don't see growth or you don't see improvement maybe. So over these over the 10 losses, you know, maybe Bryce's his production isn't elevating, or the team chemistry isn't gelling like you would have liked. You have a brand new coaching staff, and you have a fairly young team with no, you got rid of DJ Moore, you sent him to the Bears. Again, I don't know anybody of high profile name on the Carolina Panthers, offense or defense. So what do you expect? Yeah, this GM.
And they don't have any trading capital, so they're not going to be able to fix this.
No, because you traded away for the Bears. Now the Bears have the Panthers' first round and the first and the fourth round overall pick next season. So it's like, and then you want to get on the podium and you want to say, well, a lot of people say, you know, that I don't have patience. Well, if you ask, you know, people outside of my football world, I have a lot of patience, you know. I have people that I've been with for 20 years. But guess what? We're talking about the football world right now. And your patience level is nil, zero to none.
And it's just bad bringing up C.J. Stroud. It's like, why are you talking about him? That's not your quarterback. Your quarterback is Bryce Young. What are you doing?
Yeah, and I hate that too, because let's be real. Do we really think that C.J. Stroud would be who he is in Texas, in Houston? Would he be the same in Carolina? I don't think so.
I agree.
It's apples and oranges. Would Bryce Young be more successful in Houston? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I believe that because the coaching staff is different.
Okay. They
literally are trying to give him everything he needs to succeed. That's not happening with the Panthers.
Exactly. Hard when you try to compare. So for all those people who said, you know, that Houston, you know, Bryce should have went to Houston, and we don't know. We would like to think that he would probably be better off. And I know I'm pretty sure C.J. Stroud would be struggling. But then again, that's a brand new coaching staff, a brand new team. Yes, they put people around C.J. Stroud, but did they put the right people around Stroud? Like, I guess what I'm saying is, would that team with a Bryce Young, just insert Bryce Young, and would they still be winning? I don't know. But to try to compare Bryce Young with C.J. Stroud's success, I think it's totally unfair because you're dealing with two totally different organizations and the structure. And don't get me wrong, because I was not too confident in the Houston Texans being successful, especially not this soon. So again, I think it goes to just the coaching staff of D'Amico Ryan and probably his him wanting to do well for Houston. But again, you know, you went through pretty much three coaches in three seasons, and if you expect to be successful that way, keep on thinking. 347-826-7924, that is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. All right, so real quick, I want to get through the rest of these because coming out of the break, we got to talk about, I think it's the game of the week last week, and I still don't know how they managed to pull it off. The Rams, they beat down the Cardinals 37-14. For the Rams, their running back Kyren Williams and their wide receiver Puka Nacua They are on pace to become the fifth teammate duo age 23 or younger to average 85-plus scrimmage yards in a season. Browns fell to the Broncos 29-12. The Broncos, that is their fifth straight win. Broncos are 6-5. Okay, talk about a turnaround in Denver. They look really good, I must admit. And I have a question for you ladies coming out of the break as well. Chiefs took care of business with the Raiders, beating them 31-17. I think they were just playing yo-yo, playing. They were just playing with these boys. They were down in, the first half, and then the Chiefs just came roaring back. Patrick Mahomes, he's averaging the fewest pass yards per game, though, and has the lowest passer rating of his career since becoming the Chiefs starter in 2018. His highest percentage this year has been 68.1. So they have been managing to win beside, you know, in spite of that. And for the Raiders, they let go of cornerback Marcus Peters after that game. And let's see, Sunday night, Ravens and Chargers. Chargers, you know, they put up a good fight, but they are too talented to continue to fall the way that they have. But shout out to the Ravens. You know, they are a good team. For Lamar Jackson, he is the fastest quarterback to 5,000 rushing yards. He did it in 82 games. Meaning he beat out Michael Vick. Now, do you know how many games it took Vick to get to 5,000 rushing yards?
I know it was over 100. I can't remember. I want to say it was like maybe 103 or.
Very, very, very good. Very close. 104.
Yeah.
104. So Lamar Jackson has done it in 82 games. He has reached 5,000. But mind you, before this season, he was the offense. So, what do you know? I guess we can't really be too surprised because he was the only thing that the Ravens could hang their hat on before they finally got him some weapons this season. But yeah, Chargers, they just. Hey, Luke, you had mentioned the Ravens a little bit ago. Any comments you want to have on this game?
Yeah, that's Daniel's team. But I wasn't that impressed with them playing like that. Just think that if they're going to be a top-notch team, they could be a little bit better because there was times where the game was exciting and there was times when it was kind of boring.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's all.
Well, was it more entertaining than the Monday night football game? The Bears and the Vikings, 12-10. And oh, how the mighty have fallen. Joshua Dobbs had proved on national TV why he's been on five or six different teams. He looked absolutely horrible. Four turnovers, I should say. And it was just like back to back to back. I'm like, Josh, do you need some glasses? Do you see that the other team is wearing different colors? And some of the like that one he had where it's just take the sack. Take the sack, Josh. I cannot stand when quarterbacks throw the ball up. Like, you just think somebody miraculously is going to come and jump over everybody else and come and grab the ball that you willy-nilly just threw away? I mean, Josh, that was absolutely horrible. The Bears were the first team this season, though, to win without scoring a touchdown. That was hard to watch. It really was. Justin Fields has no emotion. He was turning the ball over. He was fumbling. He was reminiscent of Lamar Jackson, just running with the ball loosey-goosey, and the team was able to get it out. But no emotion. Then again, he had no emotion when they won, too. So I don't know. But it did end the losing streak in the divisional games for the Chicago Bears. It now ends at 12. They had lost 12 division games straight, active run. That was pretty painful to watch, ladies. Do you agree?
I wouldn't know because I didn't watch that game.
Well, you didn't miss.
I knew I wasn't watching that game. The thing about it is, though, I thought that the Vikings was going to win. I am very disappointed, and I don't know what's going on with them either.
Yeah. The inconsistency. Joshua Dobbs, he looked excellent first couple games in Minnesota. He might, it seems the more he learns the playbook, the worse he gets. So they might want to hide the playbook from him. I don't know. And him just throw some plays. He is not looking good. But on that note, I tell you what, ladies, we're going to go put a quick pin in it so that we can jump to our break. And then on the outside of that, it will be time for the baddest lady in the land when her pen hits that pad. Yes, Lucinda's lyrics will be up right after the break. But right now, it is roll call time. Zell, are you with me?
Ma'am, I am.
Hey, Lou, what say you?
I say I'm here today.
Wow.
It seemed like that took a lot. Well, all right. Well, you know what? We're going to let her get ready for them lyrics. That's what we're going to do. It is the triple threat in the house. It is Janelle, A. Lou, and T.J. We'll be right back after the
warm me, and when I feel I can't go on, you come and hold me. It's you and me forever. Sarah, oh, just smile and laugh for me, Sarah. If you feel like leaving, you know you can go. But why don't you stay until tomorrow? If you wanna be free, you know, all you got to do is say so. And when you feel cold, I won't. When you feel you can't go on, I'll come and hold you. It's you and me forever. Sarah, smile. I won't smile without me,
it's no secret. Ladies love sports, too, with TJ.
Oh, yes, they do. A little Hall & Oates for you. I hope they get this together because we, you know, they probably still have some music to make. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight. L Sports 2. Like I said, talk on the wall. It is time for the baddest in the land. That's bad. It's time for Lucinda.
Good evening, LL Sports 2. I have NFL news for you. Two of our teams stood their ground, and one received a beatdown. The Falcons defeated the Saints 24-15, coming off a bye of relaxing. They were hoping to snap a three-game losing streak, and their chances to win was far from bleak. Although they led the entire game, Ritter had two interceptions. What a shame. His stats were low compared to Carr. Congratulations, Atlanta, for raising the bar when I didn't vote for you. Those 49ers humiliated my Seahawks 31-13. They made us gobble on the scene. Gobble, gobble. Geno was sacked 6 times at home and was denied the winning turkey bone. Against the 49ers, this was their 4th straight loss. The 49ers proved that they were the boss. Would it have made a difference if Wilson was there? Yes, because that game was a nightmare. 2 upsets. The Vikings and the Lions lost, whereas the Broncos showed that they should not be crossed. I'm looking forward to week 13, wondering who will reign supreme.
What? All right now. Awesome job. Awesome job. And you weren't too bad on those Seahawks there. I like that, though. You said with the Falcons winning, we didn't pick them. Had I known Ludacris, T.I., and then the whole rap city of Atlanta was going to be at the game, I would have picked the Falcons. All that hype and entertainment, no wonder they won.
You know what I'm saying.
But we'll get
No, let's not put it on that. Let's give respect where it's due. Jesse Bates won that game for us. Let's not even front.
Yeah.
That boy was, when I tell you, that boy was everywhere. He was everywhere. And I was so excited because I was worried because, you know, after we lost Grady Jarrett for the season, I'm like, okay, AJ Terrell, he's good, but he is not a Grady Jarrett, and he be sometimes good, sometimes bad. So I was happy to see somebody step up. When I tell you, I've never been more excited to see a pick return for 6 in my life. Jesse Bates won that game for us because leaving it to Ritter, we was gonna be sitting in the trash can where we been all season. Let's just be clear.
Yeah, that pick 6, that was everything. I'm not going to lie to you. When I saw that, I was like, okay, I do believe that the Saints are in trouble. And Derek Carr is not for the Saints. He really isn't. And you know they have Jameis Winston sitting behind him. The Saints really need to rethink this quarterback room. I don't know if they have enough picks to try to jump up in the draft next year, but Derek Carr, I hate it too because I was really hoping he was going to get a resurgence being, you know, in a new place. Having, you know, just people who wanted him, you know, in the organization, but Derek Carr is not the answer. And it's just, but shout out to the Falcons, though. They beat the Saints 24-15. And I don't even think it was a game, really. I think the score is a little closer than, because the Falcons, they had this game from the get-go. That defense was everywhere.
Everywhere.
On the Saints. And like you said, Ritter seemed like he was trying to get the game away sometimes, but that defense they held tight. I don't know, but now they sit at the top of the division, both 5-6, losing record. So there's gonna be one of them division
Girl,
winners.
I can't wait till you get to this question because I promise you already know what I'm gonna say. My pet peeve is.
Okay. So we're going to get to it, but let's get to the game of the week right now. The Bills, the Eagles. The Eagles are always finding a way to win. That is what is really getting on my nerves. They were down 7, heading into halftime. You know, they just – the first two plays, though, first play for the Eagles on offense and the first play for the Bills on offense, it showed it was going to be a defensive game because those defenses came and shut them down. It was 3 and out first two outings for both teams. But then, you know, the Bills, they were just seemed like they were clicking and everything. But then they let them off the hook. And the Eagles came roaring back. And when Josh Allen missed Dixon, whatever his name is, in the corner, I knew the game was over. But how do you make a 59-yard field goal in the rain?
In the rain.
I'm not talking about rain. The screen was literally gray. That's how much rain it was. And those fans were just out there. Shout out to the Eagles fans. I got to give you credit because I ain't going to be out there in that rain like that. 59 yards, though, in the rain. And there was nothing wrong. Snap, great. Hold, great. Right down the middle. Wasn't short. Didn't. 59 yards. I mean, the Eagles are really getting on my nerves. They really are. But the Bills should have had that game. When Josh Allen ran the touchdown in, and then that last touchdown that they got, and should have known because, oh, boy, did the little eagle fly, eagles fly. So go sit down now. You're going to fly yourself away. And now, you know, he probably should have used them all to fly himself back to Buffalo. But the Eagles are 5-0 when trailing at halftime in 2023. Hurts, his 14th straight wins over teams with winning records. He's the first quarterback in NFL history with 10-plus rushing touchdowns and three straight seasons as well. But, again, this is what really is irritating to me, because find a way to win. Josh Allen, his eighth consecutive game.
That's what good
teams do. That's what I'm saying. What can you do? And I think it just goes to the testament, you know, their record, they're 10-1. You can't take nothing away. To me, that is the formula. That's the recipe for a championship team, when you can dig deep, when it looks the bleakest, but you can always find a way to win. Jason Kelce, two false starts back-to-back at home, and you still find a way to
win. Yeah, and the thing about it is, though, Kelce is one of their strongest on the offensive line. He never does stuff like that. So for him to do it back to back was crazy.
Yeah. And he even said that, you know, he loves the Philly fans, but they were loud. He said, you know, that he wished that they had went to a silent count. How do your fans get you off your marker there, Jason Kelce? I guess that's really loud. But again, you know, just finding a way to win. But the Bills let me down, though. They really let me down because I needed them to win this game. But it's okay. It's okay. We will be coming into, FedEx Field, wherever the Eagles play, on Sunday. It is game of the week, 425, I'm sorry.
What my hope is that you guys can get off to a running start and be up on them early. The difference between, and this is something that I had an argument with somebody about today, the difference between, you know, because everybody likes to talk about how Purdy has a losing record when you guys
behind.
Don't start off the game. Yeah, when you guys start off behind, he has a losing record. No. There's a difference. If he can, and the Eagles, it's just the opposite. Like you said, they are 5-0 when they are behind or I'm starting the game. But here's the difference: the Eagles haven't come up against that defense that you guys have. That's going to be the difference. So if Purdy can do his thing and get you guys over at the beginning of the game, I have no doubt that you guys are going to win this game, because there is no way that that the Eagles are going to be able to withstand their defense. That the Bills did okay, but the Bills defense is not that 49er defense.
That's true.
I don't care what anybody says.
That is true. You know, one thing I pride myself on, as do you, Janelle, we are very realistic fans. And
yes,
that is what everyone is saying. You know, the 49ers, if they can get up, you know, if they can get out to a quick lead, what the Eagles can't do is think that they can get down and then come back on that 49ers, that team, that defense. I said the same thing about Kansas City. If people remember, the Chiefs were playing from behind the whole playoff season. They came back
from
behind.
They always playing from behind.
And I said that, you know, everybody was saying, okay, they cannot do that against the 49ers. And sure enough, we got up on them, and then what happened? We let our foot off the gas. So I say that to say, we will have to play 49er football for 60 minutes. Do I think we can do it? I absolutely do. But I'm going to be real. I don't know if I would rather win this game. I strongly feel that it's going to be the Niners and the Eagles standing tall at the end. And you can never predict, you know, that's why I need for the Eagles to lose. It would be nice for us to get that number one spot. But neither here nor there, because we're a very good road team. So sometimes in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, I want a good game. I definitely want a good game. But if we happen to falter in this one, as long as it's good, I'd be okay, because what I want is that NFC Championship game. And this leads me into my pet peeve. This is not a rematch. This is not a revenge game. This is not whatever they want to call it. When whoever wins this game, they are not going to the Super Bowl. So stop it. ESPN, NFL, all these people. This is not a revenge game. True enough, do we want to win? Do we have salt in our wounds? Are we probably foaming at the mouth right about now? Of course we are, because we were robbed. I don't care what nobody says, but I do believe we would have won that NFC Championship game. But we'll never know. So I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. However, for those Eagles fans and whoever, you know, true enough, yeah, you took our quarterback out. That's one way of thinking about it, because a lot of people say, well, you know, we didn't have a quarterback. Well, the Eagles fans, they look at it like we took the quarterback. Okay, you did. So we're gonna line up again and see what happens. But the outcome is not going to be the same. That is a pet peeve of mine. Just like the Chiefs and Eagles. Oh, rematch the Super Bowl. Ain't nobody winning no trophy after that game. Stop it. That's my pet peeve. Okay, Janelle, go ahead. What's yours?
My pet peeve. I have a couple, but this is the one that gets me in. We have to go through this every year. I understand the way that they have things set up. Okay, I get it. But doggone it. All this team is in the hunt, and they 4-8, and this team is in the hunt, and you know, we going to playoffs, and why are we going to the doggone, and to do that so soon in the season is what really ticks me off. Stop putting up playoff pictures, and we ain't even three-fourths of the way through the season yet. Can you just knock it off and stop talking about the doggone NFC South, because all of them going to be at home watching the Super Bowl with everybody else. I'm so sick of it. Every year we got to have this conversation, and you know how unfair I think it is for teams to make it to the playoffs when they don't have a winning season. You know, send somebody to the Super Bowl, to the playoffs, and they 7-9 or 6-9. That's not fair. I don't like it. I can't stand it. I understand why they do it. I just don't like it. And doggone it, if I see one more playoff picture and my team is sitting up there with the doggone Eagles, and I'll kill somebody. I promise you. I'm not playing. I'm sick of looking at that. I'm sick of it.
I'm not
from the beginning.
Jail, girl. I'm not getting you out of jail.
Yes, ma'am. I know I'm going to put some act right on, I promise. But that is the biggest pet peeve. Now, I told y'all from the beginning of the season. Now, I do get the young man who spoke earlier thinking that his division is the worst. No. AFC, nothing. The NFC South is the bottom of the barrel. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
We are literally scraping the crud off the bottom of the barrel. That's where we are right now. Don't get me wrong, because you know how much I love my Falcons. I will love my Falcons to the day I die. I can promise you that I will never choose another team over my Falcons. But doggone it, we ain't going to playoffs. And if we do go to playoffs, we going home first round. Stop talking about it. We already know who's going to end up in the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship, and who's going to the Super Bowl. But I can promise you one thing, it won't be no doggone Falcons. Just stop.
Oh, Lord. I love it, Janelle. Okay, now you said you had a couple, but let me get A. Lou in here real quick. A. Lou, what is your pet peeve in sports? Do you have one? And y'all hit us up on the timeline. What's your pet peeve in sports? Go ahead.
That my pet peeve sports, the game, when they be calling, sometimes when they call too much, sometimes these referees, they call, when they make bad calls, it could be detrimental to the other team, you know what I mean? But sometimes they need to let some things go.
That's my
pet peeve.
Okay, I got you.
Now, TJ, I'm going to say this. Okay. I want to know who does the schedule, the TV schedule for these games, because my other pet peeve is stop putting these trash games on when somebody could actually want to watch it. You got the first night that we watching the first day that we watching football on Black Friday, a game that you know don't nobody want to watch that trash. Why are you putting a doggone game like the Vikings and the Bears on a Monday night? Dude, somebody want to see that trash. Come on. Somebody got to do better. I can't with this. I cannot do it.
So, and thank God for the flex schedule. The schedule comes out in April. Now, mind you, they work on this for 3-4 months diligently. And you have to know that they are projecting certain players to be in the lineup when they make these schedules, i.e., we were supposed to see Rodgers versus Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay,
we were supposed
fine.
To see Jalen Ramsey go up against Aaron Rodgers, you know, Sauce Gardner go up against Tua on Black Friday. Monday night.
Okay, tell me who on Monday night. Because the Bears been trashed for years. Tell me who we was watching on Monday night. Who was we going to watch?
It's a game, but it's still a divisional game, though. You know, divisional games always, look at Lions and Packers. We thought that the Lions were going to win because of the season that they were having, but divisional matchups can be different. So the Bears, you know, they're always a good game, the Bears and whoever they're playing when it comes to the division, just like the Lions game a week before. Lions probably should have lost that game. They've been down, 17 points in the last two games to their divisional opponents. They just happened to pull it out against the Bears. Play their divisional opponents good. And like I said, we were supposed to see Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson go up against Justin Fields. And then they were expecting Justin Fields to take a leap. You know, Jalen Hurts has just made everybody think that in year three, you know, quarterbacks are just going to put a Superman cape on and you know, turn into Superman. That one's a little difficult because they made the schedule back in April. But I get you, though. I wish they could flex a little bit more. But, you know, by the time people bought tickets, and it's kind of hard to rearrange certain games. So we're stuck with this below mediocrity on primetime TV.
True story.
But
every team cannot be top-notch, y'all. Come on.
On primetime TV,
But if we gotta watch them, they need to be. That's my problem. I do understand that you always going to have somebody on the top, somebody in the middle, and somebody on the bottom. But if it's on the bottom, I don't want to see them.
If that's the only game I have to watch and it's mediocre, I got a problem with that, too. But, again, you know, injuries and stuff play a huge part in that. So we have to take that into consideration, too. Like now, if the Bengals have any more primetime TV or primetime games, it's going to be more. So hopefully it's Sunday night and we can flex them out. 347-826-7924. That's the number to call, y'all. All right. So real quick here, NFC Players of the Week. Offense was Kyren Williams of the Rams, the running back. Defense was, free safety, Jesse Bates from Atlanta. And special teams kicker Jake Elliott of Philadelphia, go figure. And then for the AFC, offensive quarterback Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs, defensive linebacker Josh Allen of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and special teams kicker Brandon McManus of Jacksonville. All right. We're going to get to this real quick, but I have a question. And Janelle, you kind of touched on it. You said that we know who's going to be in the AFC championship, but do we? Do we, ladies? The Broncos have won 5 straight, y'all. 5 straight. This is a team that lost 70 to 20. They lost by 50 points earlier this season. And now they are on a 5-game winning streak. Now, check this out. Their past 4 outings, they beat teams over 500. They ain't like the Dallas Cowboys, who just beat mediocre teams. They beat the Browns, the Vikings, the Bills, and the Chiefs. Coming up, they have the Texans, Chargers, Lions, Patriots, Chargers again, and the Raiders. So they got 3 divisional matchups against the Chargers, who ain't that good. Raiders, not that good. But again, it's a divisional matchup. They've already split with the Chiefs. Texans, Patriots, and Lions. Ladies, are the Denver Broncos going to the playoffs?
Okay,
possibly.
So I want to put an asterisk. I need to put an asterisk on one of those games you mentioned. Because, yes, they did beat the Chiefs. However, Patrick Mahomes had the tool during that game. They did not get him at 100%, so I don't really give them they
I don't care
for that. However,
on one leg broke on. He got beat.
Janelle, if somebody is weak or injured or whatever, if they lose, they just lose. You got to call a loss, baby, and a win, a win. Come on.
He sat down.
Huh? Whatever. They schedule is kind of weak though. They don't have anything nothing coming up that they shouldn't win. I think that this game against the Texans is going to be good, but their schedule doesn't show anything that shouldn't have them far up the ladder as far as on going into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is that a yes? Do you think they're going to make it?
They'll make it into the playoffs. I don't think they're going no further than that.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm just saying that's a lot for Denver, the way they started off. They were 1-5 with a 50
yes,
point.
That's true.
Come on.
But I think what it is is that Sean got his head out of his behind. And started working with Russell Wilson the way he was supposed to, and now things are clicking on all cylinders. I think that's what it is. And I think that one of the biggest things, and we mentioned this before, one of the biggest problems is he thinks that his way of coaching the Saints is you can't do that with every team. And I think that he realizes now that he had to make some adjustments and everybody got to the table, sat down and made those adjustments, and now they're moving and grooving.
Yeah, they look good. Hey, Lou, are the Broncos going to the playoffs?
Pardon me? Are the Broncos going? Yeah, they probably make it. Their record might be better. You know, they might surpass the Seahawks record. You never know. With the way they play, and if they keep it up like that, they'll be in there.
Yeah. I have a feeling, especially with the AFC North was really very competitive, and it was looking like the whole AFC North was going to be able to make it in the playoffs. But like Janelle said, they're talking about the playoff picture back in week 5. But with the Bengals being pretty much eliminated, we don't know what the Browns are going to do now. I think that the Broncos may be able to sneak up in there. But as the Texans, I think they still have something to say about it. Who else? I don't know about the Bills.
The Texans schedule is not that bad either. Now, they do have the Browns that's going to give them some problems. But the Texans schedule is weak, too. They got the Jets, the Titans coming up a couple times. The Colts, their schedule's not heavy either.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the Broncos, we might see the Broncos in the playoffs. And what a turnaround that would be. These last 6 weeks are just going to be, they're going to be so exciting. I can't wait, but then it's just going by too quick. All right, ladies, y'all see what time it is. Y'all see, why can't I never find it when I need it? There we go. There you go, y'all. Music. Here we go. All right. So we have Aunt Lou. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh.
Miss Terry.
Aunt Lou and I can find it's coming for but, you know, it's been worse. So I'm going to say that's good. But, Janelle, you are still right there in the thick of it. Aunt Lou is still winning the picks at 115-65. Terry is right on her heels, one game behind. Janelle is two games behind that, and we ain't even going to talk about where I'm at. So, let's get to it. The teams on the bye, this is a lot of them, Ravens, Bills, Bears, Raiders, Vikings, and the Giants. So, six teams on a bye this week. And, ladies, I do have Terry's picks. So, let's get to it. Thursday night kicks off. Aunt Lou Seahawks at Cowboys.
I'm going Cowboys.
Cowboys.
All right. That is clean, sweet. We all rolling with the Cowboys. Let's see what them Seahawks going to do. Let's just hope they make it a game. Because, like I said, Cowboys have been winning by 20-plus points at home this season. Okay. 1 o'clock games on Sunday. Chargers at the Patriots. Terry has the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chargers, too.
And so am I.
Yeah, I saw a stat where the Patriots, they have beaten them the last 7 outings, the Chargers, including the playoffs. But I think that's freaking interesting because I can't pick the Patriots no more. Sorry, brother. All right, that's clean sweep. We all rolling with the Chargers. Okay, then we have the Lions at Saints. Terry has the Lions.
Lions. Tigers and Bears, oh my.
Oh my is right. Oh my is definitely right. I'm going to take the Lions.
Lions, okay. I really want to take the Saints, but they've let me down every time I pick them, and I just don't see this getting turned around anytime soon. And I think the Lions are going to have a chip on their shoulder. All right, that's clean sweep. We all going with Lions. All right, Falcons at the Jets. Terry has the Falcons, and I know Janelle has her Falcons.
I have the Falcons. Okay. The Jets, they can't score touchdowns. The Falcons need to pull it off. This would be the first time they've won, and I voted for them.
Yeah, and they better because they're 1-4 on the road. But every time I pick the Falcons, they lose. But they're going to get this together for me. Come on, Falcons. Bring T.I. and Ludacris to the halftime game. Okay.
What the monkey?
Cardinals. Clean sweep. What the monkey?
Yes, please. All right, we got the Cardinals, Steelers.
Yeah, I'm going with the Steelers.
All right, clean sweep. We all rolling with the Steelers. All right, we have a divisional matchup. Colts at the Titans. Terry's got the Colts.
Colts.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go with the Colts.
Yeah, me too. They could get Derrick Henry, but I don't know. I think I'm going to roll with the Colts, too. All right, that's a clean sweep. All right, then we have the Dolphins at the Commanders. Dolphins. All right, that's a clean sweep. All rolling with them Dolphins. That's a clean sweep.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is going to be a good game. Broncos at the Texans.
I'm going with the Broncos,
even though the Texans at home.
Hey, Lou, going with the Broncos. Janelle, what'd you say?
The Texans.
Texans, okay. Terry is going with the Broncos as well. Now, I might be changing this, but I'm rolling with the Texans. My first mind says Texans, but I don't know. First mind is a little off. Okay. Then we have a division match. Panthers at the Bucks. Terry's got the Bucks.
And I do, too.
Yeah. I'm taking the Bucks.
All right. Clean sweep. We all rolling with the Bucks. Then we have the Browns at the Rams. Terry's got the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the Browns.
I think I'm going with Terry and going with the Rams.
Okay. Right now, I'm rolling with the Browns because I trust that defense. I do have to see what the status of Garrett. But right now I'm rolling with the Browns. All right,
okay.
Then we have Chiefs at the Packers. Terry has the Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Okay, then we got Monday night, Bengals at the Jaguars.
Did you skip your game on purpose?
I'm saving it for last.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to make this mistake again. I'm going with the Jaguars.
Jags.
I got to keep remembering Joe is out.
Jags.
Okay, that's a clean sweep. We all going with the Jags. And then the game of the week is the 49ers at the Eagles. Who y'all got?
49ers.
What? I'm rolling with them Niners. Bang, bang, Niner game.
Rolling with those Niners. Jalen Hurts is not looking that good right now. I'm concerned.
All right.
With him, though. Boy's good, but he can't pull it off. Y'all got too many weapons on that team.
phones. You better say it a little bit louder for me. I'm just kidding, though.
Y'all got too many weapons on that team.
That's plain sweet. We all rolling with the Niners. All right, y'all. And on that note, it's a wrap for the show. Janelle, you're up.
I am going to make this short and sweet. I'm so glad to have been with you ladies tonight. And I'm hoping and praying that you guys have a great rest of the week, and I love you all. And Terry, you were definitely missed tonight, ma'am. I love you too.
Amen. Hey, Lou. Hey, hang up. Hey, Lou.
You hear me? I'm here. I just want to give a shout-out. December 3rd is Sunday, I do believe, because Friday is Monday. I mean, it's the 1st. So that will be my son Daniel's 30th birthday. He will be turning the big 3-0, my oldest. Happy birthday, Daniel. I love you. I think the 4th or the 5th is Terry. The 4th or the 5th is Terry's birthday. I just want to give a shout-out to Terry. Happy birthday, darling. I love you. I don't have my calendar with me, so I'm trying to go from memory. But that's, Miss Terry, I want you to know that we miss you tonight. Miss you so much. Just love you. And your presence was definitely missed tonight. Janelle, you put on a little act right. You and TJ kind of went in left field for a minute. But y'all just got, I guess you need to get it out. I just want you to know that I love you, and you brought yourself back, so I'm proud of you. TJ, you know you're going to do whatever you want to do. You know how you do. But I love you, and I want you to just keep on doing what you're doing, because you're doing what you're doing when you do what you do.
Oh, thank you. Got to get it done. Get it done. I love you.
On the run.
Love you, ladies, and same bat time, same bat station next Wednesday. Sorry. Love y'all.
Love you.
All right. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies on LL Sports 2. Sasha said, good pick. Eagles will have to play better than what they've been putting on tape lately to get by this weekend. That's the only way I see them winning. Niners got this. Oh, yeah, I think we're on a mission. We have something to prove. But like I said, January is when I really want to see them. But anyway, one game at a time. All right, so shout out to everybody who tuned into the show tonight. Wednesday Wikipedia is, let's see, November 29th. At the end of the month, y'all. 1980, Monday Night Football was on the cover of TV Guide. In 1987, Joe Montana of the 49ers completed a record 22 consecutive passes. In 1992, Jerry Rice caught his 100th. And in 1992 as well, Dennis Byrd of the New York Jets was paralyzed after a neck injury in a game against the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, so that's your Wednesday Wikipedia. As I always say, whether you listen 2 minutes, 2 hours, 1 hour, we thank you. We love you for the support. Make sure you please share the show and follow me at LLSports2TJ on TikTok and IG. All right. Birthdays today, Howie Mandel turned 68. Russell Wilson turned 35. I'm sorry. The Game, the rapper, The Game turns 44. Julius Randle turns 29. Don Cheadle turns 59. Stephon Diggs turns 30. And Chadwick Boseman. He would have celebrated a birthday today, but we lost him in 2020. All right? Shout out to Marlon. Shout out to Ronbo of Ronbo Sports. Shout out to the Chambers brothers, Marvin and Harold Chambers. I saw you tonight, Harold. Thank you so much for tuning in. Shout out to the Chop Shop, Robert Hatter, Jim Hicks. Great big shout out to Aunt Lou for bringing the strength once again with Lucinda's lyrics. She did that, y'all. So if y'all missed it, make sure you catch the recording. Shout out to Janelle rounding out the triple threat tonight. Janelle, it was so good to hear from you. It sounds like you're doing a lot better than you have been. I know you're kind of still under the weather, but it's so good to hear you and have you on the show tonight. Terry, we miss you. You know, we always do, but we know you're here in spirit. Of course, a great big shout out to my dad, Lawrence Jackson, to my brother, D'Angelo. Shout out to Daniel, turning 30 on his birthday, my cousin, Aunt Lou's son. And, of course, last but by no means least, to my mom, Miss Denise Green, for everything you do for me, for LL Sports, too. I love you, and I appreciate you. All right, so that is going to do it for the show tonight. We'll be back next week, 8 p.m., 347-826-7924. And that leaves us time for one more thing, which is TJ's motivational moment. All right? And it is my spiritual vitamin for today. Spoke to me. So here we go. The verse, Jonah, chapter 2, verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. The inspiration. We tend to cause ourselves considerable pain after getting involved in sorrow and misery. Some struggles we see coming from afar, while others move in quickly. We often feel battered and broken by the mighty waves of life. As hard as we try, we can't come up for air. We lean on Jesus to help us walk through life. He listens to our concerns and provides the strength to overcome any obstacle we face. The mighty waves of life are no match for us with Jesus by our side. Dear God, we have a friend in Jesus. We are thankful for his selfless sacrifice and his commitment to our spiritual well-being. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a friend in Jesus. What a mighty friend. Today, and that's my motivational moment. Until next time, be good to others. Be good to yourself. Y'all be blessed.